right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Nation? Or should I say, Blitz Nation? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. If you could do us a huge favor real quick. I know you're urging, you can't wait to talk some football. We can't either, but do us a huge favor. And also let anybody that else know that if they love football, if they love other talk, Grumblingsmedia.com is a place to go. Anywhere to get your entertainment, your political, your sports talk, this is the one-stop shop that you need to go to. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can also go to Rumble.com and drop us a follow there or anywhere where YouTube is. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the notification bell to let you guys know when we go live. Also, hit those thumbs up. Hit those thumbs up. It really does help our channel grow. And also, anywhere you get your podcasts, that's right, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, you name it, we're there. Drop a follow there as well. But, man, I'm hyped, Jim. I can't wait. We're diving into our first edition of where we go through the divisions one by one and try to figure out the divisions for one, and then for two, who we think we're going to give our early predictions on where we think the divisions are going to stack up at the end.
All right, Joe. Yeah, way to bring the energy there.
I got to do it for you.
I'm under the weather, but I'm trying to make it through here. So I apologize ahead of time if I, clear my throat a couple times. So Joe's going to bring it though. Joe, he's going to cover me. He's going to carry me through this one.
No energy drink either.
No. But yeah, I mean, I guess the news that's heading out right now in the NFL is the big trial finally comes to a close for now. For now. And NFL found, guilty, of raising the prices here on the Sunday ticket and gouging people. And now they're forced to pay, was it like $14 billion or something like
that?
Well, like
the jury awarded $4.7 billion in damages to residential subscribers and $96 million to commercial Sunday ticket subscribers. So here's the other crazy thing, too, about this whole deal. And obviously, the NFL is going to appeal this. They're going to try to push back and try to get this to either get, pushed down in terms of like a lower number or something. But under federal antitrust laws, these damages can be tripled even, potentially making the NFL liable for up to $14 billion. So it's not all cemented just yet. It's not official yet. Like, yes, this is a big win for NFL Sunday ticket subscribers, residential and commercial. However, we all know that the NFL is going to appeal this, and they're going to try to do their best to get this number reduced dramatically to try to like cut back on those damages. Because here's the other part of this whole thing is that if this does stay ironclad, this decision is it stays and the appeal doesn't go through and all that, for the NFL, it's one of these things where you're gonna have to pay, like residential subscribers. It was rumored out there. There's some statistics out there that are basically guessing that the payout, because everyone's always wondering, like, what's the payout gonna end up being? So for the residential subscribers, the payout's going to be anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000. And just think about that for a second. Like that's a large sum of money. And then for the potential of it to be tripled, if that's deemed to happen, then we're talking about, 12,000. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, like, around $12,000 a person. Like, so this is not only a huge deal. I know some people are like, who cares? Sunday ticket, lawsuit, whatever. They won. Okay, cool. And people are going to get money. But this is actually a catastrophic deal because this is not in favor of the NFL. Like, usually the NFL wins all these cases. Usually they get away with whatever, But in this one, they lost. And if it stands, like, that's a lot of money, and what they can do now is they can go after individual teams now. They might give each team a bill. Mm-hmm. Hey, $500 million per team in the out of all 32 teams, you all got a $500 million bill. Why? Well, because you're part of this. It's not just the NFL. It's not just the Shield. Like, you guys are under our umbrella, so we're going to give you guys a $500 million bill to help pay all this. And that's going to hurt a lot. Some of these like low income teams, these low market teams, these small markets. So that's the other part of it that work that I feel like that's the other bigger part of the story that not a lot of people are covering is the fact that like the NFL could very simply pawn off the majority, if not all, of the expense to these all 32 teams.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a funny thing about this whole thing. The way the organization and the NFL as a whole is kind of set up, how it's a full nonprofit and all these other things, right. Ran by a bunch of millionaires that hire another dude to run the whole thing and make them more money. Mm-hmm. But now this guy, I don't know if who's exactly to blame for all this. Is it Goodell? Is it board members? Is it all the owners on top of it at all? But it's kind of odd the way it happens, because if you're an owner and you hire this guy to get these money deals for you, and you're like, all right, you work, you do that thing, you know, we like you, you're making us all kinds of money, and then all of a sudden this lawsuit pops up, and then he's like, hey guys, yeah, well, I want you to know, well, we kind of messed up here a little bit, stuff like that, so here's the bill. You know what I mean? It's like, how does that work? You know, I mean, any other place where this goes down, you know, you're kind of like, you know, right. That doesn't make sense. Like, where does this even fit in any other kind of line of business? You know, the only thing I can kind of think of is something like, you know, taxpayers pay the police to do things or something like that, right? And then or even like government officials. Let's do that. They pay, you know, the governor and things like that, government officials. And then he comes out with a big scandal where he's screwed up and he's fined a bunch of money. He gets fired, first of all, and then all of a sudden he still has to come up with the money. But in this scenario, he's like, you guys got me. By the way, I'm raising the taxes. You guys going to cover for my bill here and what I'm being fined. So thanks.
Right.
I appreciate that.
And that's real quick. I just wanted to mention too. So the YouTube packages and the subscriptions that they were charging for Sunday Ticket were all around $349, you know, to watch the Sunday Ticket. So part of this whole legality issue is that the prices were too high too. And now that this ruling has come down, and if it sticks, like we said, you could see prices get dropped down now going forward for the Sunday Ticket. So, and another big deal too is with this case going through and whatnot in favor of the Sunday Ticket, that for the first time ever, businesses are now going to be allowed to have the Sunday Ticket. So, that's another like kind of big win for a lot of businesses out there. A lot of businesses that are definitely 100% like sports bars, lounges, restaurants, whatever, that are interested in getting into the Sunday Ticket and having that available for the customers. This is a huge win for all of them. This is going to boom business for them going forward. So, a lot of good things that are kind of coming out of this, even though the NFL is that, you know, at its doom here in terms of financially, like they're going to have to pay all this money out. But Jim, you bring up a good point in the fact that, you know, the NFL is just going to like, oh, slide the bill over to the other teams. But here's the thing is the NFL agreed to these deals. It wasn't the 32 teams like, hey guys, let's go to the round table and all take a vote. Like, should we do this TV deal or should we not? Should we do this package deal and not? Like, I feel like this was solely the head of the NFL and their committee deciding to make these, you know, subscriptions available and get these TV deals done to kind of give them more money, to give the NFL themselves more money. And I understand there's revenue sharing, and that's where part of this falls onto the teams, but they were the decision makers, I feel like, in all of this.
Yeah, and that's what it kind of seems out. Like I said, no other place other than, you know, a nonprofit type of company or this company in general, you see something like this. So it's something that could come down. Who knows? Again, the NFL always has a way to get out of it. You know, so that's why I'm kind of surprised to see this kind of thing happen, especially with the judge. And then, you know, to go to the jury and then the judge still goes along with it. Mm-hmm. Interesting here on the appeal, how the judge is like, yeah, you know, we're good. You know, I mean, so I think that was interesting because usually it goes wrong and then even they appeal and then it's all, you know, not going well for them.
But, yeah.
So, it should be interesting to see. I'm sure a lot of people will like that come the season.
Especially the ones that are getting the money.
Yeah, absolutely. You get the money there, and you know, and imagine that. And it goes to show you, too, is that you don't just have to take it. A lot of people thought that just like, this is what we have to do. We have to take it all the time. It wasn't for these people coming up and saying, you know, forget this and filing this lawsuit.
Yeah.
The NFL would probably just kept doing this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And keep doing it and taking advantage of everybody. So we'll see what happens. You know, it should be interesting moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully good for everybody in general.
Absolutely.
All right. So, so like Joe said, every year early on, we try and tackle the divisions, and we kind of go through, dissect the rosters a little bit and kind of mm-hmm. take a look at each team and then with not like a fine-tooth comb, you know, but we'll kind of see kind of in general what the roster looks like and then give a prediction at the end moving forward. So let's take a look at them right away. And we're going to cover the AFC East first here, Joe. And let's get started with the Buffalo Bills. Have you started off for us?
All right. So real quick, I just want to go through some pluses and minuses of their roster here. So just start off with offense, right? Like, I feel like there's a big major weakness. Like, it's not even a secret. Like, everybody has been talking about this without Diggs being there. That wide receiving core, it's a big weakness there. I still feel like their offensive line is going to be solid. It's going to be good. They got some good depth in terms of their starting offensive line behind them in terms of good backups. Cedric Van Pran Granger, who they just drafted at center, I think is going to be an amazing fit for the Buffalo Bills going forward. Maybe not necessarily this upcoming season, but he's there as a backup, and he could easily transition over to being your starting center whenever the Bills deem that necessary. After that, they also got Lyle Collins. Now, I know he's kind of like a forgotten name in most circles in the NFL, but Lyle Collins has been away. He hasn't played in like a couple years, it feels like, due to injuries and just kind of just being around as a backup due to injury. That Lyle Collins is still a very solid player and could definitely easily start at right tackle for them as well. So they got a couple of guys that are in a backup role, but also starter worthy. So I feel like that's still a strength for them. And then obviously everybody knows Josh Allen. He's a very solid quarterback, but definitely needs to get better in order for them to get over the top. Running backs, they got a great depth of running backs. Ray Davis, who I'm a big fan of out of this draft, they just got him. I look for him to even carve out a role as early as this season as the primary backup to James Cook. I have that much confidence in him. I think that's an excellent addition there. And then in the defense, I'm going to say that, like, it's a huge, you know, huge, I guess you'd call it an addition or a comeback type player in Matt Milano, who was decimated by injuries last season, couldn't play, and was the captain of the defense, a guy that ran the defense well and got everybody in the right position. You look at this team now, even with Matt Milano coming back, they've sustained some big losses. You look at the defensive end position, which I'm not a huge fan of right here. Like, Greg Rousseau, who's never really panned out, being drafted in the first round in 21. And then on the opposite side, A.J. Epenesa, I was never a big fan of that dude. A second-round pick in 2020. Neither guy has stepped up to the plate. Neither guy has developed enough to become a difference maker or playmaker on that D-line. And then linebacker-wise, I think they're going to be solid. They're going to be fine. Cornerbacks, they're not as good as they once were, not as ironclad, but they're still solid there. I feel like the safety position definitely was lacking, but then they added Mike Edwards from Kansas City. They added Taylor Rapp from the Rams. So they got some veteran presence there, so that's good. So overall, they've lost some pieces. They've gained some positions that are a lot more solid, but again, I feel like they've kind of maybe taken a step back just a tad bit here to where who knows what's going to happen with this team going forward.
Yeah, and that's the some of the storylines you're kind of hearing too. Did these guys take a step back, or, you know, are they going to be able to keep pushing forward and make that run like they have, you know, deep into the playoffs the last couple of seasons here? obvious thing we see is the wide receiving core, you know, and the fact that you don't have Diggs there. That's big there. But they do now have, you know, something that they can also do, I think, with the two tight end sets here. And I think they would do that one more often here. Fill yourself with more kind of weapons that you can dish this ball out to, no matter who it is. And I think throughout the season, Josh Allen will find his guy. You'll see that guy emerge out of this wide receiving core, who that might be. It might be both tight ends.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because right now that's what it looks like. You know, he loves Dalton Kincaid, and you also got your Dawson Knox right there. So, I mean, it's amazing stuff for him.
Those will be his favorites already.
There you go, already. And that's your best, you know, quarterback's favorite safety net right there. And then on the defensive side, just like you said, he did lose a little bit here. But I think they'll be fine, but it is going to be a different team. And I think that that is the most challenging thing for this team and what Josh Allen will have to do here minus Diggs. I'm surprised, though, that you're not hearing so much of that really in this offseason before the season starts. You heard some of that when Patrick Mahomes lost his Tyreek Hill, but still people picking Josh Allen to be MVP of the league and some things like that. And how do you do that when you lose such a key asset to your offense? So. I think that would be the interesting moving forward here, you know, for that team.
For sure.
I don't see them meeting the same expectations that have been on there. I think when we looked at some of the biggest questions that were, I think, on Bleacher Report or something like that, and I think some of the ones for, like, the Eagles was high expectations, but I think the Bills were somewhere similar to that, and I don't really see the Bills on that. I see the Bills trying to just kind of bounce back from losing a weapon like that and just trying to still make the playoffs, make a push.
Yeah.
I don't see them as returning or doing better.
Well, my thing is I could still see them returning to the playoffs, but I'm not as confident as I used to be when Diggs was there. And I know one player doesn't make a roster, but when you don't have an answer after a playmaker of that caliber leaves, like, not somebody not even close. Like, I'm sorry, Khalil Shakir. Yes, he's up and coming. Yes, he's trending upwards as being kind of one of those guys that are going to take the throne in terms of, like, being a starter and carrying that torch. But, yes, he has potential. But are we – when we're talking about Diggs and Shakir, like, are you seriously thinking that he's going to be able to replace him? I don't see that. It's possible, but I just don't see it right now. And Curtis Samuel, who they just added to this roster, again, a guy who's been injury-riddled throughout his career, has been bounced around to a couple different teams, and here he finds himself with Buffalo. Are we going to put our eggs in the basket and say, oh, no, we got Curtis Samuel. He's going to fill that role. I don't see a guy on this roster, and you could even look deeper, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, who just got added to there, a guy that typically drops the ball. Once in a while, not all the time, but once in a while he does. Yes, he has speed, but he doesn't have playmaking ability. Like he sometimes drops balls when he's wide open.
Yeah.
It could be a touchdown, and he ends up, you know, dropping it. Chase Claypool, a journeyman, basically at this point, started with the Bears, went to the Steelers, and went to now Miami, and then now Bills. That dude has not developed into a starting caliber wide receiver and held on to earn a role that way. So you're seeing all these kind of like, it was almost like the Bills front office was standing in front of a dartboard, put a bunch of free agent names on there as wide receivers and just started throwing it and say, okay, whatever it hits, that's who we're signing. So again, Jim, I agree with you. I think the receiving core has to be a position of concern for Buffalo Bills fans and the regime going forward. I still think they're going to be a competitive team. I'm not willing to say, oh, well, they're going to fall off the bandwagon. I still think they're going to be competitive. I still think this season that they can make it to the playoffs. It's just going to be a little bit steeper of a hill to climb.
Right. And then you'll see how Matt Milano comes back from that injury, too. See how, you know, healthy he'll be coming off of that. So that would be big for them. And if you look at the Bills schedule real quick before we wrap it up with them,
sir.
You talk about the weapons, your lack there, you know, not having that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Their division has some pretty good defenses.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to play them each twice.
Yep.
They do see the 49ers this season. And then also, the Ravens and some other, the Jags really put it to them last time they played too.
That's right. They looked at him
and they said Josh Allen really stepped up, and it wasn't the Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. It was Josh Allen for the Jaguars. So there you go. There's a couple of tough games there too. So to make the playoffs in this division, they really need to get a couple of wins against these teams that are in there that have really good defenses.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough.
For sure.
Next, moving on to the Miami Dolphins here now, Joe. Yes. We just talked about them quick. You know, they're getting some good defense. They added more depth and speed, too, mm-hmm. on top of it on the offense. They added a veteran in Odell Beckham Jr., too, as well. So they're just trying to up their game up and get better and try and make a bigger push this time, get farther than they did before.
Yeah, you know, and the last season, what was the big problem? They kind of, like, wobbled into the playoffs with no defensive ends. Like, they had nobody, everybody was hurt. They ended up grabbing guys off the street, like Justin Houston, you know what I mean? And just said, here, go after, get to the quarterback, you know? So I hope, like, when you look at the team now, all right, on paper anyways, they added Calais Campbell, a veteran defensive lineman who's going to come in and look to help out these younger guys, get them a little bit more developed than what they already are. Tyre Tart, who came over from Houston, I feel like is going to be one of these names that are a little bit overlooked in terms of, like, oh, he's a nose tackle, blah, blah, blah. Like, this guy is a very good player. I feel like the Dolphins got themselves a steal, you know, in free agency there. And Zach Seiler, the other D end, he's starting to play better. He comes over from Baltimore. So it's interesting how they've managed to piece in free agents here and there, trying to fill some of these holes because they've lost some players too. You look at Christian Wilkins, the biggest loss of them all. They bring in Calais Campbell to kind of fill that role, hoping that he can last the whole season. Being guy's got like the fountain of youth. He's like approaching 40 now in the NFL, still able to get the job done. What I do like what they did, too, in this past draft, though, is they added another pass rusher, another potential type of player in Chop Robinson, who's very fast. And we kind of joked about it in the draft about how Miami drafts speed. And literally every position that they've just about taken is all fast guys, whether it be a defensive end like Chop Robinson, one of the fastest guys coming out in the draft. You know, or it could be a corner, it could be a wide receiver. So it's kind of hilarious on how they keep staying with the whole mindset of you can't teach speed. We're just going to have it all on our roster. So even that being said, with the defense, we talk about speed. You look at the linebacking core too. David Long Jr. coming over from Tennessee, Jordan Brooks coming over from Seattle. You know, Bradley Chubb coming over from Denver that they were able to get a trade for last season. They managed to compile all these linebackers, but guess what? They all have something in common, guys. And what is it? Speed. These guys go sideline to sideline. They're going to be flying all over the football field, and that's kind of what this new defense is going to look like. They're every position, they're not going to be slow. They're going to be fast, get to the ball, tackle the ball carrier, and move on to the next play. It's going to be kind of exciting to watch this team on how they format this defense. Are they going to blitz like they used to? Are they going to kind of hold back and just play coverage? That's what I'm curious about. And then you look at their secondary. Their secondary is pretty darn solid. They managed to get big free agent signing. Kendall Fuller, one of the best corners available in free agency. Jordan Poyer comes over from Buffalo, everybody. Joins the division rival. And teams him up with Javon Holland, who was injured last year too, along with Jalen Ramsey. Everybody knows him. So, like, and then beyond that, you look at the fact that they have Marcus May as a backup. I think that is a huge, huge addition for them, especially with the injuries that may pop up from time to time. Miami usually has that issue in the secondary, and they have good depth beyond that. So I like the defense and where they're at right now, Jim. I don't know if you want to add anything to that about the defense, or you want to move on to the offense.
Yeah, the defense, again, they've got some solid, you know, young guys, but then they also have that mix of the veterans there too as well. Like you said, he even got in the linebacking core up front. So, yeah, I think all together, they're good. They're there to try and make a push. And I think this is the right time here too, where I, like I said, the way I looked at Buffalo, I'm kind of on the lines of, I think they do take a little bit of a step back, even though, yes, they've kind of been there. They've made their push. They've done their thing. But I think still that they have a little bit of a learning curve here with some of this and not having that weapon. Because you looked at Josh Allen before, and he did okay, but he wasn't until really he got that guy where he really kind of emerged. And last year we did start to see some of the mistakes that he made and things, you know, and some of the turnovers back to kind of the old Josh Allen here too. So facing a team and a defense like this, like I said, in this division, it's going to be tough. So this defense is going to be tough on him week to week. And, you know, some in additions, like I love even stealing Jordan Poyer from that team in the Bills, I think is a great addition for them. A ball hawk there altogether on that back end. And with this offense too, I'm looking to see this team try and tire of like a Bills team out or their opponents. Just tire them out, go fast, you know what I mean? And they're conditioned that way too. We saw the old Philadelphia Eagles were like kind of that with Chip Kelly. They try to tire you out play after play, speed guys. And this is what I think the way this team is kind of built too as well.
You talk about tiring them out. Well, don't worry, because Mike McDaniels and his offensive genius.
He doesn't tire out either, Joe. That dude is a maniac.
He drinks energy drinks. He does definitely probably drinks Rays too. So,
yes.
But my thing too is with Mike McDaniels is that he's so creative and has such tremendous offensive aptitude that he's able to come up with a lot of these very creative plays that nobody really has seen before. And when you double that with the fact that the offense that he's got to work with, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, now Odell Beckham Jr., but I get it. We got to see if that guy stays healthy. If he does, then this offense is not just doesn't have speed up and down the roster. But also, you got to contend with dealing with Mike McDaniel's, you know, creative genius in terms of his play calling. You go beyond that. They got a very solid offensive line. I know there was a lot to be said in the offseason. People were doubting this offensive line, saying, well, they took a step back in that category, and they're not as strong as they once were. Well, I don't see it personally. I feel like they not only brought in other vets, but that just slid their starters to become backups. So in essence, I think they upgraded more than anything. Isaiah Wynn's going to play left guard for them. Aaron Brewer, who is a veteran center, comes over. Takes over for Liam Eichenberg. Robert Jones is going to, you know, replace Robert Hunt at that right guard spot. And Austin Jackson, who, yes, has been injured. This is the year where it's kind of like decision time for Austin Jackson. He has to prove that he's going to be healthy. He has to prove that he's going to be there for the long haul. And if so, he could earn himself a new deal. Beyond that, you look at the running backs and holy Santa Claus shit. The running backs are so deep. You know, Raheem Mostert, super fast, had a great year last year when he came back from injury. Devonta Chain got injured last season too, but man, in a limited role, that kid was like, he was breaking fantasy football, he was breaking the hearts of other fantasy football people that had to face him. Because he was scoring something ridiculous, like 30 points on average, or like it was insane until he happened to get a little bit injured. And then they also drafted Jalen Wright, who is seen as one of the better running back coming out in this draft. And you look at – you put all three of them together, good luck trying to deal with all of that with Mike McDaniels and his creativity. Tua Tagovailoa is looking for a new deal. They're working on it as we speak. Do they get it done before the season? That's the hope. But again, a contract year. You gotta know Tua's gonna put on a great performance for them like he did last year. You know, so you mix that all together, and I'm telling you right now, you're gonna have a high flying, high performance offense that like no other. I know it's predicated on health just like any other roster is, but man, this team is super difficult to deal with when you have to deal with everybody at 100%. So I just think that I think this team got better than last year. And I think that I'm looking for this team to kind of make a little bit more of a push.
Yeah. And that's, you kind of touched on it quick. And by the way, thank you for carrying me again. I'm having major
You're
issues
fine.
Here at my chest,
You're fine.
but as far as the – this is the storyline that's going to happen throughout the season. Game, like you said, people are focusing on the offensive line. Offensive line, if they give up hits on Tua, he starts playing poorly, possibly gets injured. There you go. It's all in the lines of where he's trying to play for that contract. And if he happens to get injured, it's where they're going to, you know, the talking heads are going to be like, well, there you go. See, injury prone, not worth a bigger contract, blah, 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 all this other stuff. But Tua, I think in the last couple of years has shown you with, you know, 100%. With talent around there, he can do it. I mean, I think his numbers last year early on before, you know, a certain point, but still even too, when he finished off the season, was still near the, you know, MVP talks. I think he played very well, you know. And
he was the leader. Was going. Halfway through the season, he was the leader for MVP.
Right, right. So I think I could see this again, you know, back-to-back seasons for him, and what kind of lucrative deal that could lead for him, we'll see throughout the season. Well, I think that's one of the conversations that can be had too with this team is, do we see a restructure during the season before it gets too long? Or, you know, is it like an after the regular season's over, you know, and into the playoffs? So that would be an interesting topic to see unfold, you know, before our eyes here. But the Miami Dolphins, I really like what they're doing here. And, you know, I think they've got a chance to dethrone those Buffalo Bills this season. All right, next moved on to we're talking about the AFC East, taking a preview here. Let's look at the New England Patriots, Joe. This was one of the topics of our failed rebuilds that we read about an article about. You know, it's kind of funny, too, when they moved on from Tom Brady and they had Mac Jones. Mac Jones, you and I thought, again, he kind of fit the mold of what the Patriots were doing here, there. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that whole Mac Jones thing because, again, at times I think he got a tough break just because of the different – juggling of the offensive coordinators and things like that, trying to put it all on his back when they still kind of left him with nothing, really. I mean, Tom Brady still didn't have a lot of weapons, but at one point, especially making some of those Super Bowl runs, he had a Randy Moss and things like that, and he also had a Gronk to go do and things like that.
He had good players.
Where Mac Jones didn't have that there. So I think he tried to put a whole lot on himself to get it done, and then now it's forces his way out of there. And, you know, but early on in the draft here, they go and draft their next incumbent quarterback, and that is Drake May. What do you think about the Patriots here moving forward?
I'm going to say this. I have some positive vibes for the Patriots, but just not this year yet. Because Drake May is one of the – listen, he was seen as one of the top five quarterbacks in this draft by a lot of people. Not everybody, but by a lot of people. And the potential that this kid has is off the charts. He already has size. He has mobility. He's basically built in – if you want to kind of compare him to – he's built in the mold of a Josh Allen, where he has tremendous size. He has that mobility. He has more better speed than you would anticipate. But, man, does he have a cannon for an arm? Is he accurate? Yes. When his footwork is correct, his mechanics are correct, he's dead on accurate. But that's the thing going forward for him. He's going to have to develop and be more consistent in those areas where, you know, the Patriots and their staff, they're going to do their best to kind of get him all in line and get him ready for the season. And if he is able to kind of digest the playbook, get that down to a T, and then – execute and get some chemistry with these wide receivers that are now on this roster. I definitely could see a scenario where Drake May kind of beats out Brissett before week one even rolls around. And then you kind of roll with the future and see what Drake May can do. I like the pick. I also love the fact that the New England Patriots went way ahead and they're like, well, let's just bring Brissett back. He's a veteran. He's proven. We know who he is. We can work with that. It, just in case the rookie's not ready, we'll have an insurance policy with a veteran quarterback. I do like that move, too. Looking at the rest of their offense, listen, what?
Before we get into that, I just want to show some love because we do have a couple of comments here from Blitz Nation. So I want to make sure I give some love to Blitz Nation out there. Back with the Bills, the Riot Show is in the house. He says the Bills are going to go with a two tight end set with a heavy run game. They pray Coleman has a year similar to Chris Olave.
I don't see it.
Shout out to Riot Show. And then back to the Stone Age is with us again. And he says Tua and that noodle arm of his will hold back the fish again. There it is. That's what
I gotta disagree
there with everybody.
You look at what he did last season.
Love the comments, everybody.
Look at what he did last two seasons, guys. He put up big time numbers, and you can call him noodle arm all you want, but he's getting the ball to his playmakers. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely thrown 50-yard passes. So I mean, I call him noodle arm because he can't throw 80 or 70 yards, but he's getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Patriots here, before I was rudely interrupted.
Sorry, but never rudely.
Wide receivers. So Kendrick Bourne comes over from San Francisco. Jalen Polk, who is an up-and-coming wide receiver out of the draft. A lot of people do like him. Some people don't. Like myself, I don't think he's going to be that much of a playmaker like some other people envision him to be. DeMario Douglas is kind of like one of those guys that you look back when in Tom Brady's era. When they had some small wide receivers that were no name players, but they made their name known and they made a statement and were able to contribute to that offense. That's a guy that I'm kind of keeping an eye on is DeMario Douglas. And then they've managed to bring in some other veteran talent, Jalen Reagor, KJ Osborne, you know, it's just to name a couple here. So they brought in some help in terms of some wide receivers that they're going to utilize. They're going to rotate. This seems like it's going to be like a heavily rotated offense in terms of the receiving core. They're going to get everybody a shot to kind of see who can prove to be the starter and who won't be, especially come preseason games. That'll be fun to watch. Their offensive line, this is kind of where I'm a little concerned on the left side because they brought over Okorafor Chukwuma from the Steelers at left tackle. Not really excited about this guy, even as a free agent acquisition. He struggled from time to time with Pittsburgh in pass protection, and that's what I'm going to worry about, especially if Drake May does end up winning this job. Is he going to be running more than trying to just sit back in the pocket and throw the ball? And that can go for Brissett too as well. And you pairing him up with Cole Strange, who, again, that was like kind of like one of the worst picks the Patriots ever made in the first round was Cole Strange. He's okay. He's like an average offensive lineman, but he's nothing special. So that left side to me concerns me a little bit going into the season. And then the other thing that was a dire need of is tight ends. Like they just, for some reason, forgot that like that's part of that position kind of got them where they were with Rob Gronkowski and how big of an asset he was with Tom Brady. They bring in they re-sign Hunter Henry. They got Austin Hooper, formerly of the Vegas Raiders, and what looks like they drafted Jaheim Bell, which is interesting because he's kind of molded almost like a fullback, but is still in that tight end role. So I'm curious to see what they do with him. Are they going to just make him like a receiving threat at tight end or whatnot? But again, they've managed to bulk up on all these other positions. Running back, they re-signed Ramondre Stevenson, lock him up long-term. So he's definitely going to be staying there as their starter, their feature back, and rotating in other backs as well. So offensively, it's, to me anyway, it's kind of like, they're heading in the right direction. They've made some moves. They made a lot of moves to better this offense. It's just we don't know, one, with Alex Van Pelt, his offensive scheme that he's going to utilize, is it going to be so vastly different than what Patriots fans are used to? Is this going to be like, is it going to be balanced? Is it going to be heavy run? Is it going to be heavy pass? So that's kind of like the uncertainties with his offense is – we don't know what we're going to see in terms of the Patriots offense because we've been so easily like, oh, well, it's going to be the same every year because Belichick's been there for decades and we haven't really noticed anything different. Now it's a whole new regime except for Gerard Mayo. He's learned under Bill, but the offense to me is going to be something to kind of keep an eye out for to see what they're going to be looking to do.
Right. Right, and that's the interesting thing, too, because like you said, even when it was Belichick, it was a different game, was a different game plan, pretty much. The last couple seasons, though, again, it's kind of been
team
a little
to
bit
team,
of,
right.
of a debacle, though. So now it seemed like, you know, like they were scrambling to kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they did add weapons here. So we'll see with the depth there, they have to have something work out for them. So it'd be nice. And I think Jacoby Brissett will service them and do whatever he can. But I think if Drake May does pan out and he ends up winning the starting job with this, I think that then the Patriots are not like a dark horse team, but I mean, you could see, I think they will perform way better than expected. So, I mean, I think he'll make that much of a difference for them, and it would light something under, a fire under them, something different that wasn't there before with Bill Belichick.
It'll be interesting.
But I think they got to rely on their defense.
It'll be interesting
for the start, though. The defense and running game.
Of course they're going to rely on their defense because they did that the last couple of years. And why wouldn't you continue to do so? And that's why I feel like the Patriots, they were thinking like, hey, we can add a little bit more depth or players that can make an impact on us offensively. And the defense, we really don't need to tweak that at all. We don't need to make any big changes there. Still have pretty much everybody returning from last season's roster. You know, Jelani Tavai, they give him an extension, locking him up at that linebacker position. Another one, Christian Gonzalez. Now, maybe some NFL fans forgot about Christian Gonzalez, but he was having a pretty darn good rookie year last year before his injury. He's returning completely healthy. So going to have that shutdown corner on one side of the football. Jonathan Jones is going to be on the other side. So they've managed to add a couple of veteran free agents, but also keep the core together, keep the continuity together here with Matthew Jordan as a pass rusher, Juwan Bentley and what have you. So they have all their same faces there. The chemistry is going to already be there for week one. They're already going to be a really solid defense, and it's going to be run by their head coach now, Gerard Mayo, who was their D coordinator. So nothing's changing on that side of the ball. So there should be no reason to believe that this defense is going to take a tick down or anything like that or be disrupted in where they're trending anyway. So I think the defense is going to be even better than what they were previous year. They're going to be one of these top 10 defenses. And just like Jim mentioned, that they're going to have to rely on them. And rightfully so, because they're going to be that good of a defense that's going to keep them in games longer to give the offense a chance to kind of catch up if need be. So with Drake May, if he does in fact win the job, and I will say this, if Brissett is the starter, I feel like they're going to be competitive, but they're not going to make any waves in this division. And even if Drake May takes over, yes, they're going to be better than Drake May. If he's in that starting role, he's going to make the offense a little bit better than Brissett, but still, I don't see them making waves because as a rookie quarterback and with Drake, who still has to further develop to be, to continue that development in his footwork and his mechanics, I still think you're going to see some follies. You're still going to see him struggle from time to time with this very, high speed NFL level, gameplay. He's going to have to try to play catch up with that. It's a completely different thing. So you're going to see struggles from time to time, but you're also going to see big time highlights that's going to give you comfort as a fan.
Right. And we said before with the Buffalo Bills, tough schedule. They play a lot of tougher teams here, so they'll see some other good defenses on top of it too. So
you're like the Patriots, you've been right good for too long. We're going to just slam you with difficult schedules now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're not the favorites anymore, right? So now let's move on finally to the New York Jets here as we cover the AFC East preview. The Jets, again, Aaron Rodgers, it all comes out now that he was
In Egypt.
So yeah, just let him do his thing, man. He's just chilling there, doing ayahuasca in Egypt, and hanging out.
I know we talked about this, but what? I'm sorry, but if I'm a football player in that locker room, and it's mandatory OTAs where everybody else is expected to be there, everybody, starting wide receivers, starting linemen, starting defense, all that, but Aaron Rodgers, your leader of the offense, the guy who really hasn't spent much time on the football field. He spent pretty much all season on the sidelines with you guys last season. You haven't really played. You don't know really what the end result is. This dude is okay to just kind of go take a vacation or a getaway, whatever you want to call it. He's in Egypt when everybody is grinding, working hard, in these mandatory practices, but Aaron Rodgers is free to do whatever he wants. And I get it. He's a veteran. He's been there. He's done it. He's done it for many years. You know, he's proven himself type of deal. And I'm all, and I get it. When you reach a certain level, of status in the NFL, I realize you can take some days off. You can relax once in a while. Even in practices, maybe you don't go very hard. They're going to take it easy on you and all that. But I just feel like this sends the wrong message to the locker room. We're like, well, Aaron can do whatever he wants, and we're here sweating our balls off. We're hurt. We're sore. We're tired, but we're still pushing through in preparation for training camp, which is right around the corner. But where's Aaron? I guarantee you, if you ask any player in that locker room that is working hard and doing what they got to do, they're all going to come out with the mayor type response. Oh, well, Aaron Rodgers, he already had that trip planned, and we're going to be here when he gets back. And this, they're going to just take the whole thing and just kind of roll with it. But behind closed doors, I guarantee you there's some players, maybe not all, but there's some players that are like, dude, what the hell, man? Like, this dude should be here with us. I guarantee you. So it's like one of these things where I feel like the locker room might be split on this. But it's definitely – I don't think it's something that can't be overcome, obviously. As long as Aaron's there day one training camp and is going to be there for the rest of the whole practices and whatnot, I think this will kind of blow over. But at the same time, in the moment, right now, there's some players that got to feel a certain way.
Yeah, maybe they do. And like you said, we definitely know that there's media members that feel a certain way. But I'm on that other side of where it's Aaron Rodgers. He's different. Him and Tom Brady are both great players, but they're different players. Tom Brady's an in-your-face, hey, let's work, we're going to get together, we don't want the guys, blah, 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 we're going to do this, and we're trying to perfect our craft. He loves football, lives, breathes it, whatever. Aaron Rodgers has other interests. I mean, he's shown that. He's shown, hey, I'm good at this, I've kind of proven myself. I have other things to do, though, too, and I'm not going to strap myself for all this stuff. I know that I'm going to be ready to go when it's time to go, and everybody else prepare, because when I come in, we're going to do this. And that's kind of how he rolls. I mean, you kind of see that. I don't know if you call it diva-esque or mm-hmm. and having not lived in the era of Joe Namath, I would say it's kind of similar, but maybe not, you know, but just kind of in the fact that he feels or sees himself as a larger than life kind of dude. He's got other things. He can just show up and be there. Don't worry about me. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing Jeopardy, whatever. I'm going to Egypt. I'm doing Hayahuasca. I'm on a retreat, blah, 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 blah. You know, the Yaya sisterhood and all that junk. And then he can come back and just be ready to go, you know. But people will also bring up the fact that getting into football condition and four plays and then you're done. And that's where it's always going to come down to. So I think people, when the season gets going, they're going to – count the snaps, and if he makes it past four, they're going to be like,
crowd's going to erupt.
Okay, we did this. Okay.
Standing ovation.
Okay, all right, so it's already better than last year.
And then the very next play.
So I think that's the way to look at that one, and just that's what it is. He's just different. But analyzing this team, I think they've made steps to get better, too, on top of it. They trimmed some fat here, but then they also added people. So I think that defense is going to be top 10. Again, like you're talking about with some of these other teams, I think that defense is going to be top 10. They get overlooked, especially last year because they're the Jets, but they were a top 10
team. They were top five.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say. Very good. So now Aaron Rodgers, add him into that, and hopefully here for them, you could see the difference of what he was supposed to make last season. And, you know, like I said, with the weapons that he has around them, I don't see any limitations here for this team.
Yeah, so I'm going to stay with the defense here.
Sure.
You know who is in a contract year, in essence, is Jermaine Johnson, who was drafted in the first round in 2022. And still hasn't been able to kind of make a big leap like the Jets were hoping for. So I definitely look for him to kind of step his game up this year. You got to stay healthy. You got to stay on the field. You know, the best ability is availability, and that goes for any player that is deemed as a starter. He needs to stay on that football field. He needs to prove that he is a very good pass rusher, can get close to double digits, if not double digits, and make it a big impact on this team, because they lost a player to the Eagles. You know, and Bryce Huff, who was one of the better pass rushers who kind of went under the radar last year, but he made a huge impact. Now, the Jets are looking for the same in Johnson this upcoming season. They managed to bring over Javon Kinlaw to kind of fill in this D-tackle position where they were lacking, who they're hoping that they can get a little bit more out of Kinlaw than what the Niners were able to do, because he's been lackluster since he's been drafted. He's been injured. Another guy that needs to prove himself. Quinyon Williams, we don't need to really talk about him. He's an amazing battering ram of a D-tackle. He's going to blow up your offensive line. You know, Hassan Reddick, who they brought over from Philly, that's another pass rusher who's already proven, been there, done that, and so forth. Their linebacking core is kind of underrated. There's definitely guys like Quincy Williams. We all know C.J. Mosley and how good he's been, but he's aging. Yeah. So after the season, I could definitely see the Jets kind of focus in on adding to that linebacking position via draft to try to find the next really good linebacker for them. Other than that, you look at their secondary has been amazing. Like, it really has. Tony Adams, Chuck Clark comes over from Baltimore. They even have Ashton Davis, who they really do like, but he's going to be in that backup role. So they got plenty of depth in that safety position. The cornerbacks with Sauce Gardner locked down, DJ Reed from Seattle, another really good corner there. I really like what this defense is and has. I think they have tremendous potential to become yet again one of those better defenses this year. But also the offense is where they made their big strides this offseason. They're hoping Rodgers stays healthy, obviously, for the whole year, not just a few snaps. But, man, when you've recreated this offensive line, basically just overhauled it, you've improved it. Now, people are going to kind of point their fingers at Tyron Smith coming over here, who's getting up there in age, has a bad back, has been severely injured year in and year out. They paid the man $20 million for 1 year, which is starting money, obviously, and it is only a one-year deal, so it's kind of like a rental. They did draft Olu Fashanu, who I really do like. I think he's going to develop into a very good tackle in the NFL. Right now, he's seen as one of the more polished pass-blocking offensive tackles, but really needs to work on his run-blocking, and that's why they brought in Tyron Smith, just to kind of help him develop, and also in an emergency, Olu's going to fill that role if Smith does get hurt. John Simpson coming over from Baltimore, that's a huge addition for them at guard. Elijah Tucker, all Jets fans know his name. He can play right guard, right tackle. He also plays the left side. He's an amazing player, but again, another guy who's been injured. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy this year. Morgan Moses comes over to lock down that right tackle spot. Joe Tippmann in 2023, and it was drafted in the second round, and he's going to be filling that role as a starting center there for them. I think this offensive line not only just got better, but there's no real weakness now. And Aaron Rodgers can be more comfortable in the pocket, can take his time a little bit longer than last time, and he's going to be able to kind of distribute the football the way they need to attack. And then when you look at what they've done in the receiving category, they've added more players. Guys like Mike Williams, formerly of the Chargers, a big body type wide receiver who's going to be a very good I feel like him and Aaron are once they get on the same page, that's going to be one of his favorite targets, let alone Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson already a favorite of his. But now you add Mike Williams, and you already have Alan Lazard there. You have, you know, Jason Brownlee, who I think is going to develop into a good wide receiver there. But here's a guy that I want to keep an eye on this year. He is a rookie in Malachi Corley, who I think is going to not only carve a big number of snaps out this season, but he's going to be a difference maker for them in the slot. This guy is a very, very good, quick, fast wide receiver. And once Rodgers and him kind of connect and they're on the same page, that tandem right there is going to be dangerous this season. So overall, this offensive line, the offense as a whole, has already gotten so much better than last season. And you team that up with this great defense that they had and have always had since Robert Saleh got there, has completely changed that over. That this team is ready to win now. And that's really the whole purpose of them bringing in Rodgers a couple years ago, as they want to win now. So this is the season. Rodgers is healthy. Again, we don't know how long after this year. Will Rodgers still play another year?
Right.
Will he retire? That's very uncertain. So they got to win now. Now's the time.
Yeah, yeah. Now's the time, like you said, and they've got it all set up. Like you said, they took care of all the holes that they had, mm-hmm. got rid of the guys they didn't need anymore. And Breece Hall, if he stays healthy again, he's an electrifying running back here for them, too, on top of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's always helped Aaron Rodgers along the way, too, having a running back that he can dish it off to in any scenario and let it, you know, loose, you know, and
True.
Take it off his shoulders.
True.
I feel that if Aaron Rodgers even gets injured, perhaps, you know, mm-hmm. knock on wood, he doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. I think the fact of bringing in Tyrod Taylor, I think, was a good addition, too, because
yeah.
we've seen that he can be resourceful, too, for the New York Giants. And this team has way more talent than the Giants. And he was playing fairly well with the Giants here. So, and still a bit elusive and being able to move out of the pocket and make some plays on his own, too, we've seen. So I think even if Aaron Rodgers does go down, I think this team can still go very far with Tyrod Taylor here at the helm.
Tyrod Taylor, you know, as long as he gets the play right at the, you know, at the goal line, if he manages to figure out what's supposed to happen, then they'll be fine.
Supposed to do? But yeah, and I think along the storylines for the season with this team, mm-hmm. I think as they go with whatever Aaron Rodgers goes, it's going to dictate to what he decides he wants to do, and then also what the team is going to do with Robert Saleh, with the decisions they're going to make with him and how much farther his career is going to be there with the Jets, I think, too, all depending and weighing on this season. So I think they could go very far. I think they can make the playoffs, definitely. So mm-hmm. These teams are tough, though, with all these divisions. I know everybody's talking about the AFC North and the fact that they're going to be featured in, you know, the Hard Knocks and things like
that. Which is cool, I think.
But, Yeah. And then also, you know, there's a lot of other tough divisions, and all of them are tough. But again, when you look at these teams, too, I wouldn't be surprised if three teams out of this this division come out and make the playoffs, too. So who loses out in the other divisions?
Well, that's
it's pretty tough.
Is you have every division winner's guaranteed in. That's four right there. So in order for the AFC East, in order for them to have like three teams even make it, that's including the winner. It's going to be a tall order to ask because when we start to dive into these other divisions, we're going to find out real quickly on how really tough this conference is and how every division is going to be a bloodbath, basically.
Right.
So I'm curious. And obviously, you know, the East is going to be super competitive. The North is going to be super competitive. The South, we don't know how competitive that's going to be because there's some teams that – you know, still trying to figure things out. There's other teams that are ahead of the game. And then the same thing with the West. The West is kind of like what used to be one of the more competitive divisions. It still is maybe within the teams there, but I don't know out of that group. Like, again, they're kind of like the South where there's some teams that are ahead. There's other teams that are below and still trying to figure it out. So North and East, I definitely think that they're going to be the two divisions in the AFC that are super, super. It's going to be really tough to kind of dice out, but we're going to do that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, so what do you think about this one with this division? Early on predictions, obviously,
that's
before
right.
the season starts, after we see the preseason and all that, we're going to make our official picks.
We haven't even hit training
camp.
But,
yeah, so it's going to be early
so,
here.
Take it like a grain of salt, but this is what I'm going to do. Based off the rosters, based off the coaching staffs and how they run their teams, I'm sorry. I really do believe that the Jets, it could be their year this year. I think that they're going to win the AFC East. I feel like they're followed by the Miami Dolphins after that. Then I could see Buffalo and then New England at the bottom.
All right. Man. Okay. And, yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough and to look at. And early on, if I go with my early predictions, like I had said before, and when we looked at our quarterbacks, I said Aaron Rodgers is going to be the top quarterback this season. So I'm going to go with the Jets, the Dolphins as well, and the Bills and the Patriots, just like you, without exactly trying to copy you, Joe. That's what I just did.
No, you didn't copy me. You picked your team.
But
you're
yes,
fine.
Yes. That's why I see it. Cause again, I do see the Bills taking that step back.
That's the thing, right? Out of all of these teams in the AFC East, yes, it's very difficult to decipher. Because we all expecting We're expecting, I would say, Buffalo, Miami, and New York to all have really good teams to push for the division.
Right.
New England is kind of like a wild card where we're really not sure who's leading the team, how the offense is going to work out. The defense is going to be solid. It's going to be fine, but they could have a lot of mistakes on that offensive side of the ball where it kind of leaves me, you know, a little bit more concerned than before.
Right, right. And I wouldn't be surprised if the layout of the land and when it's all said and done is Dolphins, Bills, Jets, Patriots, just because maybe we do see some of that with disconnect and Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, you're supposed to run that way and this and that. What are you doing? And this and that.
Aaron, if you were here during OTAs,
yeah,
like, we would have
been. I was here. I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of that little miscues, you know, and how that happens and stuff. So, you know, it's a long season. Mm-hmm. It's even a long time. But short time still, it's going to creep on us fast. We know how this offseason, you know, right getting into camps goes.
Right.
So it'll come up on us quick. Joe, I know the off season Hard Knocks starts, you know, tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
I think, right?
The Giants
is starting right now. Yes. I think on Max.
9 o'clock right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so are you excited to watch any of that? Are you going to check out any of that?
You know what I'm curious about too with the Giants this off season. And by the way, I got to say kudos to Hard Knocks getting this done because this is probably my most favorite time of the year is like the off season. So if we're able to take a glimpse inside, it depends on how much they're going to show us. Obviously they're not going to show us everything, but I'm curious to see how it all went down with the draft pick. Like, cause we all heard the rumors, Giants looking to trade up, maybe getting that quarterback, or they could stay there, maybe get Malik Nabers or something like that. Like, I'm curious to see how that whole scenario panned out, who did they really talk to? Were they trying to like maybe lure the Panthers to trade up or someone like that, you know, maybe Denver or something like that. So I'm curious to see what the inside conversations were between Joel Shane and to see like, cause that's the fun part is we don't get to see that. So if they're able to show us a little peek behind the curtain, you know, to see like maybe some of the conversations that were had, phone calls, or even, you know, where a lot of this gets done or even started is the combine, the NFL combine. Conversations are had, and then the Senior Bowl, when everybody's joined and they're watching these prospects, a lot of conversations get drummed up and started, and then they kind of get finalized as they go. So
right.
I'm very curious with the Giants to see how they went about this offseason.
Yeah, and that's what they actually did a sneak peek of it, and that's what we kind of saw with the Brian Burns trade and how that kind of happened.
Yep.
And like you said, it was like a sideline talk.
Yep.
They're kind of talking amongst each other. He's like, hey, the Panthers like, hey, what do you want? What if I threw you this? Yeah. I'm just saying.
He's like, hey, by the way.
What about you guys?
Brian Burns?
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, Joe Shane's like, what?
Maybe.
One,
we might do that.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
And then,
who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
The beginning of how it happened. So,
and that,
it's just as easy as that.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is like what Hard Knocks decided to do, I think, is very, it's not like groundbreaking, but this is kind of part of the big time NFL fan. This is like what we've wanted for a while. Like, now we're going to get to see a team's offseason.
Yeah.
A division now. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be just, you know, they are going to focus on the Bears, obviously, as like that one team. But now they're also opening up to like a whole division of teams. So we're getting literally five teams throughout the year, basically. And we're getting a peak in a team's offseason, which I think is going to be really cool to watch.
Right. I mean, tell you the truth. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they try and figure out a Hard Knocks channel, like, you know, where they just start wanting to try and film every team, you know, throughout the season. And then you get to tune in on each team if you want to follow that team.
So basically it's going to be NFL Films.
NFL Films.
That's what the NFL Films did. So,
I mean, it's.
I think they should still stick with what they're doing.
Right, what they're doing. It is cool, but I think, like you said, more is better. You know, because again, when you get stuck with certain teams, you're like, oh, they just did this team again, like the third time or whatever.
You got to remember, though, a lot of teams, you know, they can turn it down the first time they're asked. You know what I mean? So that happens too.
All right, so. That's our show for tonight. I really appreciate everybody out there joining with us.
Yes,
I pushed through. I am a little under the weather, but I'll come back next week.
You
feeling a lot better.
You did great.
And
I just have to say, Jim.
You did great. You had heavy shoulders, and you carried me through it, Joe.
I got you, bro. I got you. But listen, you know what else? We need our Blitz Nation out there to get us now. You guys got to help us out here. Help us grow our channel. You know, head over to YouTube at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up, because that really helps with our algorithm, boosts us up a little bit on the corporate ladder, if you will. Also, make sure you share. And anytime we're doing our live show, guys, comment down below. We're going to react to you guys out there, whether it be a question, an opinion, just a simple comment. We're going to react. So thank you guys for joining us, for those of you that have gotten here. Also, you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret, guys. I just can't hold it in anymore, but you know, there's an amazing place called grumblingsmedia.com, and you go there, right? And they have all kinds of podcasts. It's kind of like, you know, like a whole universe, and you're able to pick from anything from political, entertainment, sports. It's just an amazing place. You need to go there and make sure you subscribe, make sure you follow, head over to the YouTube channel. Like, share, follow, comment, say, hey, we're here. Also, anywhere for Rumble.com, too, you head over to Rumble.com. Make sure you drop a follow there. Subscribe there. And anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, we're all there, too. Drop a follow there. Become part of the nation here, the Blitz Nation.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next time.